Let's jump into the message, shall we? I want to pray for you, Father. I pray for our hearing today. I pray for my speaking. Lord, it's your Holy Spirit. You just come in power and, Lord, impress upon us the things that we need to know and to hear, the takeaways for today, the application, God, I pray, that this doesn't fall just at our feet, but, Lord, it changes us in ways that matures us, that grows us, and advances the kingdom, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And as you turn into Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination this morning. I can see some of y'all haven't used your imagination since you're about 5 years old. It's going to be a stretch. I'm just kidding. I want you to use your imagination today and imagine that the Apostle Paul himself is walked into Ember today, and he's actually going to take over the service from here on. Can you imagine being in the room with the Apostle Paul? The environment's got to be thick if you're like, this is one of God's chosen, elect, one of his favorites, one of the apostles. You almost come with, what is God going to do? And then the question is, what would you ask of the Apostle Paul if you had just a minute to be alone with him? You know, it's one of those things where maybe he was given an opportunity for ministry, and you had an opportunity to walk up and have the apostle pray over you and lay hands on you. Or maybe after the service, you could catch him before he left. What would you want him to do? You can ask him for anything. What would you ask this highly favored, powerful man of God to do? Would you ask him to pray for healing for your body? Would you ask him for a breakthrough? Would you ask him for deliverance over something that is oppressing you and that's holding you down? You're imagining this, right? What would you ask him for? Would you ask him for something for a loved one? Maybe you'd ask him for a prophetic word. You're like, Paul, I got some stuff going on, and I just need a word from God. If you can just give me some encouragement, something that lets me know that God hears me and knows where I'm at, or can help me make a decision in my life. Are those the things that we'd ask for? Or instead, would we do this? Would we say, Paul, I want that same power. I want that same lifestyle that you have. Rather than ask for something just for me for the moment, Paul, I want to know the ins and outs of your life. There's a story, you know, you hear it of the disciples when they asked Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. You remember that? Lord, teach us to pray. There's only a very small group of people in the Bible that said, Lord, teach us to pray. There's a very large group of people that came to Jesus and said, Lord, I need a miracle. Lord, I'm hungry. I need some food. Lord, I'm sick. I need healing. Lord, I need to hear some teaching from you that can keep me going. There's a large group of people that come needing a miracle. But it was only the disciples who said, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? Can you teach us? Because you see, they saw in Jesus something. A connection was made. They said, there is something about this Jesus and this power in this lifestyle that he has in prayer. And we want that kind of lifestyle, and we believe that it hinges on your relationship with God the Father. So Lord, teach us how to pray to do like that. And so today, as we've turned to Philippians chapter 3, this is the Apostle Paul giving the secret to his life. Let me say that again. Philippians chapter 3 is Paul revealing the very secret of his life to the church. I'm only going to read three verses today. He says in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained it or I've already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So here is what Paul is telling us. We have to be careful to balance what is in our grasp and what is in our reach. Does that make sense? What's in my grasp that I can hold on to and what's in my reach? It's a little out in front of me. Let me see if I can explain that. There are times we get very comfortable with what's going on right now. Can I speak to the believer that's been a believer for a long time? Can I speak to you and say that if you've been a believer for a long time, one of the great dangers of knowing Christ is that you get comfortable with what's in your hand. You get comfortable with what you know. You get comfortable with what you can do. And you stop pressing in. And so what Paul is saying is you got to be careful not to get comfortable with just what's here, not settling. I want to ask, is there anybody in the room? You don't have to raise your head. You don't even have to nod. You don't even have to smile at me. Is there anybody in the room and you've been settling? You've been settling. You become complacent with where you're at and you stop pressing. And Paul is telling us not to get complacent with what is in our hand. Here's the test to know if you're complacent. If there's anybody in the room, you're like, I don't know how to answer that question. I'm not sure. Here's how you know. If all of your glory stories are packed up in the Bible and you don't have any of your own. That's how you know. Did you know you can live vicariously through the Bible? Which means you can look at the stories of the Bible and say, I serve a God who heals the sick and raises the dead and feeds the ones who are hungry, breaks bondages off of people. But you don't have any of those stories for yourself. Then I would say you may have settled. You may have gotten complacent. And you may be at the place where you're living vicariously through the Bible. In fact, it is possible for a person or a people or a church to only have stories from the past. You know anybody like that? I hope it's not you. But they always got to look back. If they're going to find something good to talk about Jesus, they got to go back somewhere. You shouldn't have to go back too far. I'm going to say that once again. Can I? You shouldn't have to go back too far. You shouldn't have to go back 6 years or 12 years or to your mama or your grandma to get a story about the wonder-working God. But you will if you've gotten complacent. So you got to watch what's in your hand and make sure that you hadn't got comfortable right there. And then he says, I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ has already laid hold of for me. He's reminding them, son of God, daughter of God, don't forget what Jesus paid for. Don't forget what Jesus has done for you. In all of life and all the stuff that's going on, don't forget that He died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Don't forget that. There may be somebody in the room and you need the forgiveness of sins, but He didn't stop there. I tell you this, and I'm going to tell you again, salvation is not the end of the story. It's the beginning of the story. When you get saved, that means now is time for God to really go to work. Now's the time for Him to really demonstrate what is up above that I preached on before, the power of Christ's resurrection which lives in us. And so Paul says, don't forget to press in. Now here's the wonderful thing. All you have to do is reach. You don't have to hold. That's good news. All you have to do is reach. There's a lot of people who believe that somehow they got to hold on to God. You ever done that? I got to just strive and I got to keep going. I got to press in. I can't quit because if I just let up, this whole thing's going to come unwound. There's nobody in the room that believes that, right? That you're the one holding the earth in orbit. You're the one holding the universe from absolute total chaos. Yeah, there are times that that we believe that. And I would tell you that it is Christ that is holding things together. That He died for us, and that there is more, and that we've got to pursue Him and stop being a consumer of the things of God. And so if we get to that place where we realize that there is more, and we realize that we want to press into those things, then the Apostle Paul shares a few things for us. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "But forgetting what lies behind." Forgetting what lies behind. I am typically not the kind of preacher that has 3 points. Most of you who have listened to me, you know that I don't have 3 points. I don't do 3-point alliteration. That's just not how I do it. I'm not opposed to people that do. That's not what I do. But I've got 3 things for you today that the Lord has been impressing on me. The first one is this: lighten up. The second thing is this: tighten up. And the third thing is this: hurry up. Those are the 3 things that I see when I look at this scripture, okay? The first one, lighten up. The second one is tighten up. And the third one is hurry up. Now, where did I get this? This thing of lighten up. He says, "I forget the things that lie behind me." What's behind you? Sometimes sin is behind us. And we are weighted down. We cannot press on with God because we keep looking back at the person that we used to be and the stuff that we used to do. And there's plenty of people that want to remind us of who we were back in the day. And I will tell you that the Apostle Paul is telling us the secret to pressing in is you got to lighten up. You got to lighten the load of the sin that is in your past so that you can move on. And I will tell you this. I asked Chris Shrewsbury if I could say this by permission, and I granted it. She gave it without knowing exactly what I would say. I met Chris Shrewsbury in 2010. I had to ask her this morning when she first came to Horizons Christian Academy, and I was the president of the board at that time. She came, and the world was upside down, right? Yeah. When I saw her, I went to introduce myself, and she was hard and cold and had a wall so high that she just barely got her hand over top to shake my hand. And it was like, "I don't want to be around you. I don't want nothing to do with you." And I thought, ooh, the Lord can do amazing things here. And over the course of 8 years now, I've watched her. It didn't take her long to get saved and decided she wanted to follow Christ. But then there was a lot of things that were wrong. Her 2 oldest kids were being raised by her mother. And I watched God begin to teach her how to love and want her kids back and how to be a mom and how to fight for something. And it wasn't long she got her kids back. And yeah, you can clap because that's a good story. And then she got her children back, and her daughter, Savannah, had Gaucher's, really kind of rare disease. And I watched her walk through that process until Savannah went to be with the Lord. And that's the time when you think that's going to shipwreck a new believer. That'll be her undoing. But you know what? Jesus held on to her. You remember earlier I said there are times where you think you're holding on? No, it's Jesus that's holding on to us. And so that's when she found out that she wasn't responsible for holding on. She was just responsible for reaching. And so she reached for God in that time of need in her life, and she found out that God had already been reaching back and that He was holding on, and He's held her through it. And I've watched her grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ, in her relationship with Him, in her relationship with others. And I will tell you, if I have ever wondered if God can make a new creature, yes, He can. I just call her up or text her whenever I need to know that. To the point, and the reason I share this story is because if you will let God forgive you of your sins and you will put that stuff behind you and lighten your load and you will move on with Him, this coming August, she's teaching a class on parenting. Yeah. And you know why she's teaching a class on parenting? Because there are times where folks grow up in situations and they don't know how to parent. I'm not sure that Chris, I don't think she ever had any example of it until she got around believers. She never even knew what it looked like, didn't even know how to do it. And so now she's teaching that class because there are those who, they don't have an example and they don't know how to do it. And they'll look at Chris and they'll be tempted to say, "You don't know what I'm going through." Right? Because we're all looking for a good reason to give up and quit when it gets hard. But I rest assured in Chris that there is nothing you can tell her that you're going through that she hasn't been through twice. She's been to hell and back about four times and smelled like smoke doing it. So you can't look at her and say, "You don't know what I'm going through." She says, "Yes, I do." And let me tell you, all you got to do is reach. God's the one that does the holding. And so you got to lighten your load of the things that are in your past. And then you've got to lighten the load of things that encumber you. There may be somebody in the room and you want to follow Christ. You want to move on. You want to be able to move and break through power. But can I be honest? You're too doggone busy. You're too doggone encumbered. There's too many things that are warring for your mind and your attention and your emotions and the very energy that you have when you wake up in the day. And I will tell you that if you want this resurrection power lifestyle that Paul has, you are going to have to lighten up, which means you're going to have to lighten your load. You're going to have to look at something and say, "That thing's baggage. I got to get rid of some stuff that I am carrying to lighten my load so that I might follow Christ." In fact, I'd ask you right now to say, "Holy Spirit, if there is anything that is encumbering me, will you show it to me right now?" And then be ready to lighten the load. Because there are things that will encumber us. Now, if you just happen to look at your spouse and say, "It's my spouse that's encumbering me," you don't have permission to cut that. Can I just go on and say that, okay? You do not. They're like, "Whoa, Kevin gave me the most beautiful out today. It was God sent. I've been wanting out. And he just said it right on a plat." No, that's not what I said. I'm saying that there are things that's not supposed to be in your life that you need to cut. So rather than try to cut the one that God has put beside you that's actually supposed to make you stronger, I'm going to ask you to bless that one. Big on my heart right now. I'm going to ask you to bless the ones that are holding you back. I'm going to ask you to bless the ones that are causing you problems. I'm going to ask you to bless them. And I'm going to ask you to be careful in how you pray. I'm on a little rabbit trail. I'm coming back. But if you were to write down your prayers and you were to not sign them at the bottom where we knew that it came from you, if it was an anonymous email of sorts, and we read your prayer for your spouse or for your kids or for somebody that's in your life and your name wasn't on it, would we know it came from you or would we think it came from the devil? That was a heavy word. Did you feel the weight of that? If we took your name off of it, would it sound like the enemy? Because you know, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that says they lazy. They good for nothing. They don't try. They're hard to get along with. They're aggravating. They're argumentative. So if we took your name off, would somebody pick that up? And if I took it to somebody and I said, "Do you think that that's what the enemy would say about you? Your spouse?" You see, we got to be very careful that when we're praying, we are not entering into agreement with the enemy and not God. So I'm going to ask you that if there's a person that's encumbering you, you begin to bless them and stop cursing them, because you're probably getting what you've been saying. So you got to lighten up. And then on this last one to lighten up, you just got to not take yourself so doggone seriously at times. Can I just say that? That as Christians, there are times where you just got to quit taking yourself so seriously and feeling like you really do have to hold the universe in your hand. That you realize that sometimes we put so much responsibility on ourselves, so much burden on ourselves, that we get exhausted and we want to quit. And it's because we put so much burden on us. Can I tell you that Jesus' burden is light? His yoke is easy. It's full of grace. And so if you're feeling weighted down and tired and exhausted and like you never can measure up, I got a good word for you today. Child of God, lighten up. It's going to be okay. All you got to do is reach, and God's going to hold. So he says, you got to forget what lies behind. You got to lighten up. And then you got to reach for that which is ahead. You have got to press on. And that's where I come to this conclusion. You got to tighten up. Because there's somebody in the room, and you don't need to loosen up. You're far too loose to begin with. You done got so loose with grace that you loosey-goosey. That you have heard grace in such a fashion that you believe, well, I am loved by God and I can do whatever I want to do and God's still going to love me, so I'm going to just go out and do what I want to do and have a good time till He gets back. And I will say, you don't need to loosen up. You far too loose. You need to tighten up, because you're going to miss something that God wants to do in your life, that God has plans for you. But you're not taking this thing seriously. You're like he says down at the bottom here in verse 19, which we won't get into. He says that there are people that are controlled by their appetites. And that there are things that they do that they glory in that's actually going to bring them shame. You don't ever want to be that person that's gotten so loose with God that your behavior is going to one day bring you shame. And so in that respect, we got to tighten up. We got to press in. Because I have never found anyone who did anything good but for what they did not have to work and they did not have to endure some pain. Amen? I want to make sure you're with me. Look at all the heroes that you have in life. Now, not the current heroes, because you know nowadays people famous for being famous. I never seen anything like it. People just famous for being famous. You're like, what did they do? Nothing. What have they accomplished? Nothing. Why are we modeling our lives after them? They loose. You need to tighten up. You know, people famous for being famous these days. But I will tell you that when you look at your heroes, those who have accomplished something, whether it's sports or it's music or it's some form of occupation, I'll tell you there's been a lot of work that has gone into it. I watched the NBA finals with my son because he likes basketball. They make it look so easy, don't they? I mean, when Steph Curry starts hitting threes, man, it's like they raining from clouds. It just, they fall. It doesn't matter what he does. And you're like, he's just born with it. Yeah, and he just walks back. And he just makes it look, and you think, this man, he was born for it. You watch LeBron James, and he drives to the basket, and it doesn't matter who's in his way. He finds a way around them, over them, through them, and dunks on them. And you're like, he's just born with it. Do you know that the average child who wants to be a basketball star shoots 50 free throws a day? Do you realize that a professional athlete shoots 500? A day. Why? Because even those people who were born with amazing talent have to put in the work. Those who are musicians who play beautifully, Amy and Travis and Noble back there, all the other guys that we have and ladies that come and sing and play, you're like, they were just born with that. Nobody's born learning how to play the piano. That thing's got 80-something keys on it. I don't know what to do with any of them. But I can tell you, if you want to play, you're going to have to practice. And I'll tell you that if you want anything in the spiritual realm, you're going to have to practice. Any of you want to see resurrection power? You'd love to see the dead raised? Yeah, do you know that if that's going to happen, you either got to be in the right room at the right time, or you're going to have to pray for a dead person? Just wanted to clear that up for anybody that was confused about how that works, okay? If you want to see resurrection power, you're going to have to be bold enough to go touch a dead person and pray. If you want to see the sick healed, you're going to have to learn to go and pray. You're going to have to get over the fact that you might look like a fool. You're going to have to realize that if you want breakthrough power, you're going to have to break through. So you got to tighten up. If you want things in the spiritual realm, yes, the needs and necessities of life God gives to us, but He is not required to give you your destiny. I'm going to say that one more time. He's not required to bring your destiny to fruition. He's given you everything, but you're going to have to work for it. So you got to tighten up. And here's the other thing. Because the life of the believer is the call to the impossible. Did you hear me? If you are not participating in the impossible, I dare say you have only scratched the surface of the kingdom of God. Because God calls us to the impossible in everything. He calls us to love. Ooh, you thought raising the dead was hard. Just love like Jesus. Just love like Jesus and see if that's not supernatural. Loving is supernatural. And so He calls us to the impossible. He looks at His disciples and He speaks to us through Mark and He says, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. And there are many people who will say, but we can't do it. It's Christ working in us. And I would say, yes, that's true. There's just the real annoying inconvenience of the Scripture when Jesus says you do it. Did you hear that? We know that the power comes from the risen Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father. But He looks at us and He says, you heal the sick. You raise the dead. You cleanse the lepers. And the first thing you have to realize is, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. And that's when the Holy Spirit says, I know you can't. This thing I'm calling you to is the impossible. It's the life of the believer. See, we've made the Christian life the life of the possible. Whatever I've got money for. Whatever I got talent for. Whatever I can see. But the Holy Spirit says, I've called you to something greater than that. That's boring. That lifestyle's boring. I want you to trade it in for something supernatural, for seeing the power of God on display. But you're right, you can't do that on your own. You're going to have to trust me. So we're going to have to be in partnership all the way through this thing for you to live in that kind of power. So you got to tighten up. And then this last thing, as He ends this, this is chapter 3. We put the chapters in. But He reminds them that their citizenship is in heaven, verse 20, and that they are eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I will tell you that there has to be an urgency about your life, because the great tactic of the enemy is this. Well, just let somebody else do it. Don't worry about trying to pray for sick people. Just take them to Kevin. Just call in somebody from out of state with a purple suit and an orange tie and a yellow shirt. And let them pray. And I'd say that's one of the greatest tactics of the enemy. That says, go and get somebody else to do what you could do if you just press in. So you got to hurry up, because the enemy's going to try to talk you into subcontracting the work to somebody else. And if he can't do that, then he's going to tell you this. Well, look, you got plenty of time. Don't worry about it right now. I mean, right now, you got small kids, right? So you're busy. Well, then later it's like, well, look, now you got kids. They start in school. You don't have time now. Then a little on down the road, you can't start now. You got middle schoolers, and you know how middle schoolers are. Huh? And you go, I can't do it now because I got a high schooler. And, you know, time's almost done, right? And then I got to work for college. And then you just keep on putting it off. And it doesn't have to be that. It can be anything. You just keep putting it off until one day he comes to you with the second part of the lie, which is this. You done waited too long. Yeah. Now you know how that lie works and you can stand against it. See, most of your life he's telling you, just go and put it off. You got plenty of time. You can do it when. But one day you're going to wake up and you won't know when. And the lie's going to change. And it's going to hit you and he's going to say, it's too late. And if you're not careful, you're going to believe him. You're going to say, you've gone too far. You know, in sin, a lot of times he said, don't worry about it. Just keep on sinning. You can change anytime you want. And then one day you wake up and the lie has changed. And he says, don't even try anymore. Because you done sinned for so long and you done gone down so many roads that you can't find your way back. He always comes with a two-part lie. If you've only heard the first part, just wait. You'll hear the second one. Unless you get at it and you press in to the things that God is telling us to do. He'll say, man, you should have done that when you were younger. A lot of times I pick on the young people. I'm going to pick on our seniors for just a moment. I don't ever pick on y'all because I love you and God's told me to respect you. And you can say, well, I'm not a senior and this will just go right over you if that's what you want to do. But you can get to the place where you're like, man, I done done my stuff. You know, I done raised my kids and, you know, they had the house and I've worked and I've retired and I'm ready for easy street. I'm going to let that go on for the younger people. You know the only problem with that? Y'all are the ones with the experience. You're the one that's walked through life. You know what the smell of the smoke of hell smells like. You got some young people, boy, they smell it and think it's incense and run right to it. You guys are old enough to know, stop! I've smelled that before. That is definitely hell. Calling your name. You're the only one that's got experience. And so you can't quit. I don't care if you're 60, 70, or 80, you can't quit. You actually know what's going on. And you got to jump in there. And you got to help out and keep building the kingdom. So what did I tell you? Some of you got to lighten your load. And you got to lighten up. But some of you, that's the wrong word. You got to tighten up. Because you're going to miss what God wants to do in you. If you don't get after it. Press in. And for all of us, to some extent, we got to hurry. Because life is far shorter than we imagine. I preach a lot of funerals. And this is not to scare anybody. I don't do that kind of thing. But I'll tell you that the one thing I walk away with after every funeral that I've ever preached is how short life really is. That doesn't matter if I'm doing the funeral for a child or an adult or a senior citizen who has lived a full length of days. Life is very short. And so we've got to hurry up to make sure that rather than to be consumers of the power of God, are you listening? Rather than be consumers of God, we move on to being stewards of God. I'm going to say that one more time. Rather than being a consumer of God, we know what that's like, right? Like when anybody's praying, I'm getting in line, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to do that too at some point. You know, it's like if somebody's praying, if God's giving, I want to receive. That's just my mindset. But we got to move on from that. We got to move on to where not only can we receive from God, but we can be stewards of God. That's where we're at today. For most people, we got to move from being a consumer of the healing power of God, the breakthrough power of God, the grace of God. Rather than being a consumer of it, we got to be a steward of it. Which means we got to look for people who need the grace of God, who need the healing of God, the deliverance of God, the breakthrough of God, and be a vessel that God can use. So I want to ask you, it's today that you change from being a consumer to being a steward? And if so, I'm going to tell you to go for it. To go for it. Because that's when the miracles of God are multiplied. You want to know how the miracles of God get multiplied? That's how they get multiplied. When the people of God quit being consumers and start being stewards. That's when you see the greater work. You want to see the greater work? God said, you'll do greater works than these. Do you want to see the greater works? Consumers don't see it. Stewards see it. Because rather than just being consumed by my own life, and if I can get right, let me just say this real quick. Let me break in for another one. I have just decided that the best thing I can do about me is ignore me. That's the best tactic for me. I know people say, you know, love God, love others. You got to love yourself, love your neighbor, and all that stuff. You know what I found? When I just forget about me, I'm a lot better off. When I quit obsessing over what I have and don't have and what people think and don't think and what I can do and don't do. When I forget about me and just try to steward the grace of God in other people's lives. The greatest weeks of my life are when I am consumed not by myself and not by what I need, but just trying to give my life away. You know what a good week looks like for me? When it's back-to-back people coming in needing something. And you know what? I get to see more miracles on those weeks than I get to see on the weeks when I'm self-absorbed and all I'm doing is praying about myself. I thought that was a good word too. Yeah. You want to see the miracles of God multiply? Be a steward of the grace of God. You want to see the greater works of the kingdom? Be a steward of those things.